Well, let's take a look at some images that you brought in. We'll have some of these for our viewers to take a look at.
Yes, we'll post them up online.
But I'd like for you to talk a little bit about the people that are in these pictures, because as we're talking about the improv that takes place in Oklahoma and the time period for which some of this material begins to kind of come together and change and become part of a wider sense of Indian country, you have some very unique pictures to you and your family to share with us. So if we could just talk a little bit about who's in the pictures. And
yeah,
just
and a little about how did you come to get copies of these?
Mm-hmm. I guess this first one here is my grandfather. His name, by the way, was Lieutenant Colonel Lawrence Ray Ware. And he was a member of the Ohoma Lodge Warrior Society, a member of the Gourd Clan, and a member of the Black Legging Society.
And then he entered the military, then the U.S. military?
Mm-hmm. He was in the military. He was in the Army. And he served in, he was in Japan, he was in Korea, in Mongolia also. But this is him as a papoose. And
I think it's pretty interesting that a traditional man from the Southern Plains ends up serving in the U.S. military overseas in Asian countries. I bet he had an interesting perspective.
He was awarded, he was awarded gold cufflinks from the Queen of England for his duties required when he was in Mongolia. He was responsible for the security of Her Majesty's ship while she was there. And I have the letter from that award. I don't have the cufflinks.
This is a beautiful picture, though, and he's in a bundle.
A rather traditional cradle board.
A cradle board, and actually, you can't see it well in this picture, but I can tell because the brass tacks that are above the place where the baby is situated, that there should be two wooden pieces that come off the back of this cradle board where those brass tacks are attached.
This is a little bit off the subject, but I've always thought it quite interesting that the Plains Indians, and Kiowas were Plains Indians, very much involved in the horse culture, would wrap their infants tightly in these cradle boards. And today, when you think about child development, we want, you know, kids out and moving, and we don't want to restrain our children at all, and yet these kids are in these cradle boards. And they were fantastic horsemen, had great ability running and jumping, and they were swaddled tightly for many, many months.
Almost traditionally about a year, from what I understand.
So who's next in our lineup?
This is his mother, my great-grandmother, Myrtle Podalty. This is taken probably as a older teen or early 20s.
Now, is this the woman that would send you?
This is the one, right? This is my great grandmother. She would send me the cards, and she was just a beautiful, beautiful person. She spoke better Kiowa than she spoke English. She went to the boarding schools, not out of the area, but locally, Methven and Rainy Mountain boarding school out there. She went though. She was very small when they sent her to boarding school. She has tattoos on her hand, not because that's what they did, but it's because of what the girls did. It was something, you know, fun you did or something. Hmm. And she had a tattoo on her hand.
A beautiful picture. What year was she born?
Around 1890. And she passed away in 79.
What's special in your retelling of how she would send you birthday and Christmas cards, so you have the sense that somebody out there was thinking about you.
Mm-hmm. There was that, and you know, as I went back last year, my cousins would tell me she was a prayer warrior if there ever was one, and she would smoke the house, which is burning the sage in the house, and or the cedar, more traditionally the cedar there, and pray all night. And my brother and I were always in her prayers constantly, and that's an awesome heritage, and I think that's part of the lifeline right there, was her prayers. And then this is her father. This is Podalty, in taking the last year of his life. Probably lived to be in his 80s, from what I can gather. And I love that picture because I can look at him and see him looking out on the plains and realizing he was born around in the 1860s. So, you know, he remembers life in a teepee and maybe even when there were some buffalo.
The traditional way.
And you've brought a little chart of your extended family. And I just wanted to kind of orient where we were within this chart of your family history. And so this is a picture of Podalty.
Podalty.
Who was born in 1848.
Right. Right, 1848, right. I was thinking of Harry Ware.
That's the great-grandmother.
Yeah, so he's my great-great-grandfather.
And how did you obtain this very detailed genealogical information?
From my family in Oklahoma. This was actually part of things that Granddaddy had, and then when his son, my father Larry, passed away, one of my aunts packed it up and sent it to me, and this was among those things.
So this is your great-grandmother,
Myrtle
Podalty Ware.
Mm-hmm. And her son.
Her son, that, Lawrence.
That's actually Ware. No, that's her husband, Lawrence Ware.
Okay.
Yeah, that's her husband, Lawrence Ware.
I see.
Yeah.
And so this is your great-great-grandfather.
Correct.
And his parents were Chief Don Pye and Ahati.
Right. And I try to want to find out more about them.
And according to what we've looked at here, Chief Don Pye had several wives.
Right. Isn't that a sign of wealth or something back then?
At the same time.
Yeah.
So he was married. He had, and by the names that we're seeing on this list, it would appear that these women were closely related. And that he had at least three.
There was a Southern Plains tradition of primarily chiefs. The wealthier Plains leaders were polygynous. Was not uncommon for them to have multiple wives, but typically the wives would have been related. Preferably they would have been sisters or close female relatives.
And this is something that I had known, so this is good information.
This looks like it fits the traditional pattern.
And what's really interesting for me, coming from a fine arts background, is that it would appear that a very close relative within your family is Stephen Mopope, who is
very well known Kiowa artist
as part of the Kiowa Five.
The Kiowa Five are credited with really reviving or creating the two-dimensional art style when they were students for a time at the University of Oklahoma. So that's a fabulous tradition.
Absolutely.
To be linked to that lives on today in all art.
Because, of course, the Kiowa Five went on to inspire this huge, huge several generations of American Indian artists that spanned Indian country, that went in all different directions. So you had the Kiowa Five inspired Creek artists. They inspired Navajo artists, Apache, Seneca. The list just goes on and on. And so today we have a very particular type of art, flat painting style with colors and usually a kind of a washed background where, you know, the scenes are set up based on lines and colors of stories of the past, famously
often traditional storylines.
Very
dancing,
traditional dancing,
women and children,
and different
and one
events.
One of the Kiowa Five
took
was
place.
was a woman.
And then some of them, I've seen pictures where they had their regalia, and I understood they were taken abroad.
Certainly their portfolio that they did at the University of Oklahoma was printed in France and sold in France.
So when you go today to Washington, D.C., and you go into the Department of the Interior, you will see paintings in the halls there that were done back in the 1920s
and
30s that were directly related to this movement that started with Kiowas. And I believe Alan Hauser started. He's, of course, passed now, but a very, very, very famous sculptor who has work on the White House lawn and Mashinduck Pequot's.
And the University of
Oklahoma. And everywhere, and anybody that has Indian art knows Alan Hauser. But he started his work initially started in this flat painting style and in this tradition, inspired, Kathy, by your very close relative. So that's very exciting that to be able to make
thrilling.
That connection today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who else do we have in our little photo gallery here?
This is Lewis Ware, and this is the Ware side of the family. Grandmother married Lewis Ware, and so he's my great-grandfather on my grandfather's side. And he was a statesman for Oklahoma.
Oh.
So,
and this is where the Ware name comes from.
The Ware name in this lineage. And it comes from Harry Ware. His father was Harry Ware. I don't have a picture of him. When I was in Oklahoma, I met another cousin, Cornelius. And she had the most awesome picture of him as a young man, kind of like the one that I have of my great-grandmother's brother. And I was just, I would love to have a copy of that picture.
But now the Wares, there are several families of Wares that have come out of this lineage.
Right, because Harry, there were several brothers, and then Harry and Maddie Ware, who was a white captive and became his wife, they have several children. 10 children, and one infant died as a child that died in infancy, 2 girls, all the rest are boys.
Because I know earlier, was it a year, 2 years ago, when it was the first year that the National Museum of the American Indian was open,
and you had
gone up to Washington to see a performance, and who was there?
This was Thomas Ware, who's a cousin. His dad, and let me think here. His dad and my grandfather's dad were brothers, and he takes a group, and they dance and do traditional songs and show, you know, talk about Indian life that still exists and as it traditionally was. And so I knew for years that he was my cousin. When we went there, when I was 14, I knew who he was. I'd never met him. So I found out that he was coming to the National Museum of the American Indian, and my son and I went up, and they were performing there, and then I went up, and he has a son, Thomas, who dances. And so I would say that Tom Ware is probably maybe in his maybe 50s, so Thomas is in his early to mid-20s. And Thomas was dancing, and I went up, and his dad had gone around backstage, and I came up to Thomas, and I said, "Hi, I'm Kathy Ware, and I believe we're related." And he's like, Dad, kinfolks, and they came out, right, and took a picture of him with my son. And when I got the picture back, there were these two gentlemen, and I don't have that one with me. But I have these two gentlemen, this man is smiling and my son is smiling, and I get the picture back and they have the same smile. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
They're related. So you've had a couple of events, though, with Noah up there at the National Museum of the American Indian, and you have brought one picture or two here.
This is at the opening ceremonies. I took him up to the opening of the National Museum of the American Indian. And he's standing in front of, unfortunately somebody stepped in front of the flag when I was taking the picture, but he's standing with the banner. And I think he's looking around a lot. He's rather awestruck at what's going on.
And which banner is this?
This is a Kiowa Tribe of Oklahoma flag. Yeah.
Just to clarify, sure.
Right. And then, this little boy here is actually dressed, like we talked about, in the Gord Clan regalia. The gentleman in the middle with the headdress, that's Fred Sudol. Southern Living ran an article about, it was called Sing a Hymn in Kiowa, and they talked about this man, and they talked about his military service, his age, and I said, surely this man knew my grandfather. And so I called the church that was mentioned and talked to the pastor there. The pastor is related to me through marriage, and got the number of Fred Soodle and called him and wrote, he doesn't hear very well on the phone, wrote him and met him and his wife, and got to talk to them at the opening ceremonies. And I saw him again this summer at the Ohoma Lodge. So yeah, Noah was, we were part of this processional with the Kiowas, and then we went back, of course, for this performance that Tom Weir did, and got to meet them. And so now when I went back this year, of course, I saw Tom Weir a little bit the previous year, and when I went back this year, and we were at Ohoma, and
Tom Weir goes... You've mentioned that a couple times now.
Yeah.
He's Ohoma.
Like, yeah. Tom goes, oh, it's the East Coast Weirs, you know, and a big bear hug. And,